KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate on the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. First off, if you're a new listener, this is a brand new day for us. So
literally a brand new day.
Yeah. So we want to be a little bit honest, a little bit upfront. We kind of found out that we had the show like earlier today.
Yeah, like around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Well, a little bit earlier for you guys.
But anyway, normally our show is Thursday evening around this time. And so usually we use this time early in the week to prep, get our stories ready and everything like that. Because if you're unfamiliar with our show, which you may be since this is a brand new day for us, we are a Geek Center talk show. Like the intro talked about, we talk about tech news and comic books and video games, entertainment, all that sort of jazz. Yes. And usually we use the beginning of the week to kind of prep and get our stories ready and everything like that since we see talk. But since we found out that we had the show tonight, it didn't really give us as much time as we'd like to prepare. So this show's going to be a little bit on the fly-by-your-pants kind of
off the cuff.
Yeah, off the cuff.
Well, we're doing our best because we want to give you a good show.
Yeah.
Just give us a little grace as we ease into our new time slot.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
because we want to be there for you also.
Exactly.
We want to provide you with an entertaining show and a show that you can participate in. And Caleb.
That's right.
And
Jason
are here to help you. And Caleb, how can they participate on the show?
Well, that's right. If you wish to make this show even more awesome by adding your input, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow. And that will be our page. You'll find us there. You can also go to twitter.com/robotsattackme. That's all one phrase stuck together. And both of those, I have them open on a laptop right now. We will keep an eye on them throughout the night. If you throw cool stories or links or just give feedback on there, we would appreciate that. And we will give you a shout on the air. If you like email, if you're just, you know, that's kind of how you roll.
If you just live and breathe email.
You can hit us up at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you want one place for everything Robots Attack, that is robotsattack.me. And if you're new to the show, you can get caught up on sort of what we're about, what we sound like on better days by going through our archives on robotsattack.me.
Yeah. And what we normally do is we kind of start off the show with new releases, kind of give people a little handful of sampling of things that came out during the week. Seeing that it's Monday, we have sort of a little bit of that, but not a whole lot again with the prepping and everything. So
yeah.
Normally I start us off with the movies that are coming out, you know, on Friday or Wednesday, but because it's Monday, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to talk about the box office results over the weekend. You know, like what was number one? Was it still Guardians of the Galaxy?
Because that would be sort of awesome.
Could it be?
No, it is not.
Oh, okay. Dethroned.
It was The Maze Runner.
Okay.
That was number one. Number two, followed by A Walk Among the Tombstones with Liam Neeson, you know, doing his, doing his thing.
I have a certain set of skills
that I do.
Right.
Maybe they're walking among tombstones quietly, right. Not to disturb the dead.
Yes.
Then in third place is This Is Where I Leave You, followed by No Good Deed. And then number five was Dolphin Tale 2. Number six, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
So still hanging in there pretty strong.
They're pretty strong, though, because they're still in the top 10 after, more than a month in the out there, so that's pretty solid.
Yeah, still making the money.
I think I saw an article that said it's like the fourth highest grossing Marvel movie now, I think. So,
oh, wow.
Woot.
Number 7, we have Let's Be Cops. Then we have 8, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Nice. Number 9, The Drop. And last, If I Stay.
Hmm.
So.
Man, Let's Be Cops beat Ninja Turtles.
Let us not think about that too long. It will be depressing. My sister-in-law went to go see...
Let's Be Cops?
No. No. Went to go see This Is Where I Leave You and said that was like, said it was actually quite good. She read the book and...
Oh, okay.
Thought it was a good movie to do book translation, it sounds like. So there you go.
Literacy. Cool.
It's good for you.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of well-known actors and actresses
mm-hmm.
in that film as well.
And so in Let's Be Cops. I mean...
Yeah, probably.
Let's not bring that one up again. Stop it.
Yeah. So I don't know. Do we have any other?
I got a few I can throw at you.
Okay.
Since it's Monday and New Comics Wednesday is still around the corner, you can still add a few to your pull list. Like perhaps Aliens, Fire and Stone, number 1. It's the it's a exciting new direction for Aliens. During a vicious xenomorph outbreak, terraforming engineer Derek Russell leads a desperate group of survivors onto a rickety mining vessel where they hope to escape the creatures overrunning their colony. But now they must face these horrors both in space and on a strange planet that they crash on. And it ties into the Prometheus film.
Hmm.
Then there is Batman Eternal number 25 from DC. With riots breaking out all over Gotham City, can Batman stop the march towards martial law? Not the martial law from
that TV show.
The TV show, or from Tekken. Yes, thank you, Mike. My brain's gonna get there. Just give me a sec.
I think people should march toward martial law from Tekken.
That would be
he's a nice guy. He's helpful.
I hear he's pretty cool.
Right.
See, across town at Marvel, it's Edge of the Spider-Verse, number 3. What is the secret behind Dr. Aaron Eichmann, Spider-Man? Who are the villainous Red Eye and Nahara? I apologize, I did not say
it's that guy.
Pronounce that correctly. and can Aaron possibly live through Morlun's arrival? Red Star, Dustin Weaver, cool people writing this. Let's see. Saga number 23 came out, so you should go pick that up because Saga is pretty freaking awesome. That's from Image. IDW is releasing a new G.I. Joe title, G.I. Joe number 1. Does the world still need Joe? Cobra has become an international peacekeeping force? ?
Nice.
And the future of G.I. Joe looks bleak. Scarlet leads what's left of America's ultimate fighting force, but will she be able to hold on to this new team? Real world action and politics collide, and nothing will remain the same. And let's see, I'll round it out with our good friends at Wow Cool Comics think that you also ought to check out another Image title called The Humans. So there you go.
Nice. See, the cool folks at Wow Cool Comics participate on the show. You mm-hmm. could be as cool as they are.
Yes.
Huh? Well, we'll have to tell them now when we're actually showing up on the air, but...
I let them know a moment ago.
Oh, okay.
So, there you go.
Wait, no, it's not Thursday yet? Probably like freaking out. Oh, we didn't put the comics out yet. Oh, wait a minute. Monday. Oh, robots attack. We're sorry. We didn't mean to trick you.
Curses.
Yeah. Curses.
So, yeah, there's a little sort of truncated version of new releases. Normally, we've got music and video games and all that jazz, but mm-hmm. as I stated earlier, we, you know.
All sorts of jazz happening.
It was, yeah. Surprise!
Surprise, here's your show. And, you know, I'm still, you know, totally thankful to have the show.
Right,
yes. Yeah. We are grateful for the show. We're just, the slot was just a little bit of a surprise, that's all.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but we're going to do our best, mm-hmm. and you're going to do your best to stick around and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
To have fun.
Have fun.
Share
try
and
your
enjoy.
Best. Yeah.
You can do it.
You can do it. All right. So.
Another anime phrases.
We're going to take a music break and then we're going to come back with some news.
Yes.
Shall we tease the folks some news? keep him on the edge. Keep him from changing that dial.
Well, how about this? The Big Bang Theory has been proven and disproven.
That was
quick. We'll have to get through that one. We'll have to unpack that just a little bit.
Okay. And Japan is planning on building the largest elevator ever.
Whoa.
Is it going to lift Japan?
I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Yeah. Or here.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's totally it. That's my story.
Come back and find out the details.
Yeah. And if you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or in the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And pro tip,
if you want to find us on the stream, the easiest way to find us is to look for our call letters, KSCU, because those are unique. 103.3 FM is not as unique. It's very interesting if you want to find out what's going on around the world, but definitely if you want to find us on this show, on this channel, you got to check out KSCU.
Unless you're already on 103.3, then congratulations for finding it.
Yeah. Woo! You did it. Achievement unlocked. Trophy earned.
Yeah.
Steam award in your inventory. I don't know.
Something like that. Something,
whatever their things are. Achievements maybe or something too.
Yeah, anyway. You have been steamed.
I'm a lobster. Voigtbug found the station.
Nice.
All right. Thank you. Not bad.
Let's get to that music and then we'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
That's right. We are in the news, and welcome back to KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are Robots Attack. We are now going to bring you some news.
The news.
The news. Who has our first story?
I'll go first.
Excellent.
So, in case you have, if you've been living under a scientific rock, you probably have heard of the Big Bang, which is a theoretical event that has nothing to do with anything other than the birth of the universe. So we'll just leave it at
the television show. You're not talking about the television show.
Not the television show and not
just to clarify.
And nothing else untoward. Now, this is about something that, near as we can tell, happened about 13.8 billion years ago.
This is
a little while ago.
Yeah.
There's an event that the scientists have referred to as the Big Bang, where the universe as we know it came into existence. It is a point from which it seems that the universe is radiating out from in both time and space because they're the same thing.
Okay.
Now, because this is...
I'll pretend like that makes sense to me.
And that's also why you can do the Kessel run in under 12 parsecs. It means you did it really fast because space and time are the same thing. Anyways, that's a different issue. In an effort to kind of put some meat onto this, I mean, a lot of researchers have gone on to what they call cosmology, which is the understanding of the universe and its function. And as part of that has been a lot of research.
Is that the makeup? Like,
no.
Where you learn to do makeup?
No, that's cosmetology. This is cosmology.
Oh, okay. That sounds more useful in this case.
Yes.
Okay.
And so in understanding this, the function of the universe and how everything operates, one has to also go into the study of where it all came from, because that will help inform everything else, naturally. Now, a group, several groups have been doing research on this, and there is a very special telescope in the South Pole called the BICEP 2. And now that's not the bicep on your left arm. Mm. It is the background imaging of cosmic extragalactic polarization 2. There's another one somewhere else.
Boy, can it lift.
So, the team down there that's using this device right now believes that they have found evidence of gravitational waves. These would have been the remnants of the energy from the moment of expansion. Because as the theory goes, very
and that's
basic,
still around? Or?
Yeah, because the idea is that this event was so powerful, so monumental in its force.
It was big.
It was really, really big.
And bang-like.
A really, really big shoe. That it would have enough energy that there is what they call background radiation, or the fingerprint of elements of this in the universe still.
Okay. Now, so Bicep 2 is like the CSI of the Big Bang then?
It is a tool being used by the CSI of space science to find the perpetrators.
Oh,
of...
yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, that was just strained to the limit. So,
I thought it was pretty good.
the group that has released these findings, they also cop to the fact that there is a lot more needs to be done to verify this, because they have found evidence of, it's like the Higgs boson, they have found evidence of, they have not found the thing itself.
Right. Yeah.
Now, and what makes these gravitational waves very difficult to find is that they are now so small, because it's been so much time since the event, that finding them is, well, they haven't yet made a instrument fine enough to find these. So, but they think they have found evidence which supports this theory. Unfortunately, recently another group of researchers who also are interested in the same, and
who hate the previous people with a passion.
No. But who also believe in
dislike their dental work?
Perhaps. Okay. I don't know. another group has come back to looked at the same data and said it may not be what they think it is. It also could just be space dust, because there's as much as there's emptiness in space, there's also a lot of little things in space which are still like vibrating and moving and causing oddities in the way we understand space. So
it sounds almost like the Big Bang just got lawyered.
There's a certain amount of uncertainty about what the results actually mean.
It's like, now, no, that's not DNA evidence right there. No. Space does.
the team that found the original initial research that from the Bicep findings is going to revisit, you know, their data with information from this other team that says this may be this. Because this is the way science is supposed to work. Someone says, I think I found something. And everyone else checked this out. And other people who are equally accomplished look at it and go, I think it's actually this. And then they compare results, compare notes, do further research, and either confirm their original hypothesis, a speculation based on evidence that they think is one way. And then if the evidence turns out to be another way, it's something else. But
I enjoy it more that they're having like some sort of blood feud with each other. but
in examining the evidence, they will come to a conclusion that he's either one way or another, or perhaps still yet undecided. We need more data, because looking back that far in history is challenging at best.
Very true. But here's something that isn't challenging and doesn't require a lot of data.
Ooh.
If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Okay, well, I promised you all out there a story about an elevator that's being constructed in Japan, and you're gonna have to wait just a little while, unfortunately, not for me to tell you the story, but for it to actually happen.
Oh, okay.
Because
good.
It's probably going to happen around 2050.
Oh, wow. That's a few years
out. It's a ways down the line, but it might be worth the wait, because it's an elevator that, if it all works out perfectly, is going to climb 60,000 miles into space itself.
Ooh, a space elevator.
Yes.
Thought those only existed in anime.
Right.
They do now. Perhaps in the future that will change.
A Japanese construction company called Obayashi is actually taking on the project. It sounds like they're just in the planning phase, obviously, at this point, mostly because they got a key piece of the material in order to build this thing. It's just not quite there yet. So the main thing that they're waiting to become the kind of core of the entire idea,
mm-hmm.
they believe is going to be ready around 2030. And that's because right now with carbon nanotechnology, we are making about 3 centimeter long carbon nanotubes, which are basically one of the strongest substances on Earth that we have figured out how to create.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the key is trying to figure out how to make them longer into much more useful material. And they believe that it's well worth it and well within the reaches of possibility. And a lot of this is actually because of rockets right now, as weird as that may sound, because right now we're completely dependent on Russia for all of our rockets for space.
Yeah.
Well, space, except for SpaceX.
Actually, SpaceX as well.
Really?
It's just a different version of the rocket that they're using.
Interesting.
A less reliable version, which is why they're having problems with military contracts. Mm. Anyway, so the shell itself is their thing, but they still...
The capsule is theirs, but the rocket is based on...
Is Russian.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway, so hopefully we will no longer be bound by the restrictions of Russian rockets in the future, thanks to a Japanese elevator.
Well, from waiting till what, 2050-ish was the thing?
Right.
To only have to waiting now till March of next year.
Okay, hey, that's so bad.
That's doable.
A little closer to home.
Well, if you're a huge fan of the Paranormal Activity movies and you were really hoping to have one this October,
right.
Unfortunately, you won't.
Do they miss that mark?
It got pushed to March.
Oh.
And it's not going to have the number 5 on it. It's going to be called something else.
Can they figure out more ways to break my heart?
It's going to be called Paranormal Activity Ghost Dimension.
An entire dimension of ghosts.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's one way to trump the numbers of ghosts that they were having before.
Well, it would also like give them, I don't know, access to like further explore stories. Like
right.
They can do like more like...
It does add a whole nother dimension to the project.
Woo! And on that note,
all right.
We're going to take another music break and come back with some more news.
I'm probably going to get beaten.
All right, we'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We're back with some more news. Who would like to start us off in the second round of news?
Well, first I have a question for Caleb. Ooh. What was the science of makeup called again?
That's cosmetology.
Cosmetology?
Yes.
Cosmology. Okay. Well, I have a story to do with cosmetology.
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yes. A student of Harvard University named Grace Choi, after graduating, decided to take aim directly at the makeup industry.
Or something like that, I don't know.
Well, her weapon of choice is...
Knowledge!
Well, knowledge. Dang. And...
And...
No, her ammunition is knowledge.
Oh, okay. All right.
But her weapon of choice is the inkjet printer. So
the device was, which has liquid that is more valuable than gold. Interesting.
Right. It's fitting to go with makeup. I mean, makeup arguably is the same thing in a lot of ways.
Yes, fair point.
Anyway, not that I buy makeup like all the time or anything. Anyway.
No, stop. We know. We don't know. We're just guessing.
Anyway, so the entire idea behind her project is to make a create your own custom color system that you can actually make your own makeup at will with her own project. But for now, to hold people over, she actually has a hack for inkjet printers that you can actually make your own makeup colors.
Interesting.
Like completely custom off of an inkjet printer.
Right. That's actually really interesting. I remember like hearing about something, a similar project. It might have been an earlier stage of this project, talking about the idea of like, you know, you could like take a picture of something that you think is really cool and like snap sample colors from that to make your own makeup and stuff like that. So
I can understand that being something to do with this, because a regular color picker tool would probably work pretty well with this. But yeah, her design right now does require you to go out and spend a certain amount of money on a very specific printer. It's not a ton, but it's maybe a small price to pay to have whatever color you desire.
Yeah, 100% custom for a relatively small fee. That sounds...
No.
Like, it, now is it, like, within, like, you know, human grasp of, like, not, like, it's not like a Tesla. It's more like, it's not like Tesla costs, you know, more like, yeah, I don't
There's
know.
Humans that have Teslas. I don't know if you realize that.
Yeah, but they're really...
There's a lot of them around here.
Yeah, but they're not cheap.
That is true.
It's like from Tesla down to Honda. Yeah.
If you own a Tesla, you will consider this cheap.
Fair enough.
I think we can leave it there.
All right.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Nice.
I thought it was kind of neat. The one thing that you will have to do to make it actually safe to put on your face is that you have to find vegetable-based inks, apparently.
Okay, that shouldn't be too difficult. Because
otherwise it will burn your face clean off.
Oh,
I have heard
from
the voices in my head.
That's
They're quite the source. I would say the lead.
I'm just saying I don't trust inkjet printers.
Yeah, I would think the dyes and leads used to make the colors for inkjet printers might be the more corrosive factor. If you're
Is lead in there
potentially?
Okay. Well, we have a plan for repelling Superman's vision then with these printers.
That is a possibility. Yes.
Just smear inkjet printer ink all over you. It'll be like from Predator 1.
Yeah.
Well, now...
Completely off topic.
The cars were mentioned.
Right.
So yes. My next story involves self-driving cars.
Hey.
Oh, okay.
California permits Google's self-driving car on public roads.
Ooh.
Oh,
so efforts to usher in the age of the driverless car recently took another step, as California's Department of Motor Vehicles issued permits to conduct self-driving trials on public roads to Google, Audi, and Mercedes-Benz.
This is the... Oh, okay.
Yeah, this isn't... I know, when I first saw this thing, I was just like, well, they're already like doing that, but that's the ones with the drivers
right
in the front seat still like testing everything. This is without...
Nah, this is a truly driverless vehicle.
As reported by The Guardian, Google snagged the permits to test 25 adapted Toyota Lexus sport utility vehicles. Audi and Mercedes-Benz each received 2 permits for similar driverless endeavors. Permits issued are now a requirement, as new rules were outlined earlier this year, for anyone looking to take self-driving vehicles on California streets, though the state has maintained a positive stance on the vehicles since 2012, despite Jason's glaring hatred.
Mistrust.
Among those rules outlined are the requirement for self-driving operators to undergo a specialized training course, notify the DMV in the event of an accident or need to take over control of the vehicle for any reason, and maintain several million dollars in liability insurance for each vehicle.
Oof. They'll need it.
Earlier this year, Google began building prototypes of its self-driving car containing two seats, a space for passengers' belongings, start and stop buttons, and a screen displaying the car's route.
And an outside that looks like a koala face.
Yes. It's pretty cute.
Mm-hmm. With a fez on top. Yeah. I kid you not.
In addition to California, Florida, Nevada, and Michigan have also implemented programs to allow for driverless vehicles tests on their respective roads. So one day soon, I hope we will be able to have a car drive itself, and I will be very happy.
Indeed.
Because yeah. I don't like driving. I can get something to drive for me. Yes.
I think it has interesting wider implications, because I think there's going to be a time where we're going to use this technology to have a decent chunk of shipping done this way.
Yeah, that is a possibility. It'll be interesting to see how that, and it will have to rework some of the existing infrastructure for those kinds of vehicles, and what might that be like.
Yeah, and it'll be cool for elderly, handicapped, those who can't drive mm-hmm. anymore but do want to be
That's
mobile.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they'll have an option besides having to get a taxi or get a family member or something mm-hmm. like that. So
or Uber up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing against any of those options.
They're fantastic. They're fantastic options.
Now I'll have
a
choice.
It's just that I mistrust them as well.
And hey, maybe by the time we're older in years, they'll be around. So yay.
Yeah. Could be.
Can you segue from that?
I can, actually.
Yes.
Although
I probably shouldn't have said that.
It's all right.
We'll forgive you this time.
So we talk about robot cars and the logic of the robot vehicle. Now the University of Bristol in West England recently came up with an interesting study that deals with the ethics of decision making with robots. Now, this is not meant to cast any aspersion upon the quality of the robotic self-driving car. This is a different.
I'm taking it that
this
way.
This is a different spin on the idea that is an interesting question that happens. So, one of the things that this group of researchers did is they programmed a robot to have ethics, for lack of a better phrase. And so in so doing, they sort of fulfill one of sci-fi's kind of crowning elements, which is the Asimov's three laws of robotics. Now, not all three are involved in this. We're not quite involved, but this one was.
It's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, because the basics of the three laws of robotics is that it keeps through action or inaction, can a robot allow harm to come to human being? Through neither action or inaction, will a or if action, basically, the robots are the way
helpful defenders.
they can't through action or inaction hurt people. Mm-hmm. They cannot
or themselves.
The robot itself is in the third position. They self-preservation becomes their last thing. The second line is for the greater good. I'd have to go look up the three laws off the top. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. But anyways,
a Spock reference?
No.
He's trying to remember the second one.
The second one is the one I can't remember right now.
Okay.
But anyway, the experiment they put two robots in a small field, and
do the robots like each other?
They don't have emotions per se.
Oh, okay.
And because they have the dimensions of it, they could stake out they could program a section of the field to it was a little marked floor, like a foosball table kind of thing, as a hole in the ground.
Okay.
And so as far as the robots are concerned, there's a big hole in the ground. And they programmed one robot to walk, to move towards the hole in a straight line.
Okay.
And they programmed another robot to stop that robot from falling into the hole. Okay. And when there was only one, just the two robots, it would start to move towards it. The the person robot would walk towards the hole, and then the assistant robot would come in and stop them, you know, keep them from falling into the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And just for fun,
why are they making suicidal robots again?
They aren't.
Oh, okay.
They added another robot just to kind of see, like, well, what if we have two people walking towards two
robots, suicidal robots
moving towards a fictional hole in the ground? They found that when they added the second robot, the helper bot actually found itself in a quandary. It would start to move to save the first robot, but then it would stop and then look at the other robot, and then it would stop and look back at the other robot, and then back. So it couldn't decide which robot to save, or if it could save both. Now, there was, you know, they ran the test 33 times, and 16 times when they had two robots, it failed to save either of the human robots that were going to fall into the hole.
Ooh.
So this has more to do with how the brain is cognitively able to say, I can save one, and then not work, and so you will expend effort to try and save the one person as opposed to trying to save both. You know, like,
how many times did it successfully save both?
It didn't.
But it was able to.
It could save both, but there was many times where it would dither just long enough that it couldn't save either of them. Okay. Occasionally, it didn't save either of them. Sometimes it would just save one. So it's an interesting story from this kind of like cognitive brain science and robotics coming together. So
I looked up the three. I have the three.
Oh, cool.
So number one is, a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm.
Uh-huh.
Two, a robot must obey the orders given to it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law.
That was it.
Three, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, that was...
So nothing about the greater good in there.
No, but it was... But I remembered it was like... there was something about the second law was about imperatives of some sort or another, which are commands or orders. So there you go. That's the three laws of robotics, and we had an exercise in what it might look like at the early stages of employing the first law of robotics, which is action or inaction to cause harm.
I'm just happy that every once in a while, at least, there was a Captain Kirk bot that decided that there was a way to save everybody.
Yeah, several times it did save both of them, but it was interesting. They were surprised at how often it didn't save both of them, which was kind of so it's like in experiments is where the unexpected happens, is where the interesting science kind of starts to show up. So
actually, speaking on this, there's I forget the name of the movie, but there's a movie coming out with Antonio Banderas.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That kind of deals at least with a little bit of this. Like, there's robots and stuff, and sort of the playing with those laws, but then it also seems like what is a robot? What is a human? Like,
what is existence? What is life?
That sort of thing. But it looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay.
I forget the name. Man, I'm spacing on it, but.
Yeah, I was geeking out about it like 3 weeks ago, and now I can't remember. Yeah. It.
I think it had some pretty cool robot designs, if I remember right. But
very Home Depot looking robots to me, which is cool in my book. But
speaking of cool,
right, and having nothing to do with Home Depot or news, the Luna Park Arts Foundation is once again sponsoring its 7th annual Luna Park's Chalk Art Festival on Saturday, September 20th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Bequesto Park in downtown San Jose. Proceeds from the festival support local artists and youth art programs. We hope to be able to support even more art programs and artists this year. The festival hosts an array of talented artists chalking the pathways of the park, and is also host to some of the best musical groups, performers, food trucks, and arts and crafts vendors in the area. It is truly a day of artistic celebration. Please visit our website at www.lunaparkchalkart.org to find out more about the event.
All right, so I think it's safe to say that three of us here enjoyed the X-Men Days of Future Past movie.
Mm-hmm, right? Definitely.
Yeah,
I liked it quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This guy right here.
That's high praise from Jason. He said, it's okay.
That's practically me running around the room giving people high fives.
It's true. It's true. Well, there was some speculation earlier on that maybe, may or may not, Bryan Singer, who directed Days of Future Past and first X-Men and X2,
right,
mm-hmm. may not be returning for Apocalypse.
Ooh.
You know, there was some talk like, he already did the Days of Future Past. I don't know if he wants to do another one, if, right. you know.
Mm-hmm. He was thinking about doing a House spinoff or something.
It's possible. There's lots of things going right. on, you know. Well, it looks like he's set to direct it.
Yay.
So Singer and Fox have come to an agreement for the director to return for X-Men Apocalypse, according to Deadline. Latino review, slip it again. I didn't want to say it, but man. This will be the fourth X-Men film helmed by Singer. Along with directing X-Men Apocalypse, Singer is writing the film with X-Men Days of Future Past Simon Kinberg and X2's Michael Daugherty and Dan Harris. Production is planned to start early next year, with the release date set for May 27th, 2016. X-Men Apocalypse will take place in the 1980s, a decade after the events of X-Men Days of Future Past. Deadline says that the events in the previous flick lead to Apocalypse's introduction, setting in place a new powerful enemy for the X-Men to tackle.
We're going to play football with him.
Oh, man. Yeah. American football or like rest of the world?
Football. The American one, because it has tackling, right?
There's tackling in the other one, too. It's just.
Is there?
Yeah, it's slide tackle.
And a lot of like pretending of, oh, I got
yeah, oh, my right. shins. Like, I now have shin splints.
And apparently there's biting. There was like some
there's
guy.
Biting?
Well, I remember there were some stories over the World Cup and there were like some dude right. like biting people or
right,
something.
Yeah.
Like,
well, he's a cannibal. I mean.
Oh, that I did not know.
Right.
Are you sure or is this speculation?
I think that's speculation.
No, okay, no okay. I mean, it's a religious choice on his behalf.
Look, we're not like.
We're supposed
CNN
to respect it
and all that sort of thing, but you know we do news. We need to. We can't just say.
Well, okay.
If we say it's speculation, if it's speculation, 100%. We should at least.
I mean,
I'm just trying to protect us here. I don't want to get sued.
But he does bite people.
That is true, but we don't know if that's
on more often than an occasion.
It's true. So anyway, there you go. Apocalypse. Maybe there's some biting in it. I don't know.
It'll
take a bite out of the box office.
Definitely slide tackling.
May of 2016.
Yeah, there you go. Coming soon to a theater near you. The most powerful mutant so far, perhaps.
Okay. Speaking of things that are coming soon, how about something that will never leave?
Whoa.
Huh.
Japan.
That's going the other direction.
Anyway, I don't know why I have so many Japan stories.
One of those nights.
Make a lot of
right.
technology.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening in Japan right now. Anyway, there's a story out from Engadget that basically highlights the fact that CDs probably are not going to die anytime soon in Japan.
Interesting.
Apparently, 85% of music sales in the country are still CDs.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have figured.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's because we're so American, we just can't think outside of our own box, right?
Oh,
That's
no.
all there is to it.
Not in the,
I mean,
that little thing called the internet and the digital revolution of
right.
trading information in bits and
not
files.
Not everybody's into all that jazz.
Apparently not.
Anyway, I mean, what it does come down to is a couple of things. First off, there is a little bit more of a cultural thing that they do like items that are traditionally like held onto or collected a little bit more. It's a little bit more of a tradition there.
Collectability is a bigger thing for them.
Right. But the other side of it is just simply because the music industry over there is incredibly tough to do internet-based sales with, just because it's a lot of additional bargaining that you have to do with all of the companies involved. Mm-hmm. And it's traditionally like really difficult to hatch out any sort of deal with that. And it's something that people over here are probably familiar with, just if they're trying to get anything like a song from an anime that they like.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of difficult.
Yeah, you basically have to buy the import CD. That's about the only way to get like the song that you want.
So, right back to the CD again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Interesting. Hmm. So, from the modern Japan to historical martial arts. Why? Because Japan and the Asian continent is famous for its martial arts. You know, they have a whole genre of film dedicated to, you know, the samurai and the kung fu master. There's not so much of that for Western martial arts, which
people... Other than the Western.
No, the Western's not part of that.
That's a martial art. There's martial involved.
So, in this case, they were referring to martial arts as in... hand-to-hand combat.
Oh, okay.
Not marshals.
What about equilibrium?
Art. Moving right along, there is a group that calls itself HEMA, or Historical European Martial Arts, and their goal is to help resurrect some of the better preserved fighting forms of Europe. Particularly the German and the Italian, because they had more documentation.
Okay.
I'm sure other groups had equally interesting forms of martial arts, but they didn't write them down. Yeah. So.
Lost over the generations.
Lost over the generations.
Norwegian martial arts, not so much.
Yeah, but several groups, you know, have started like creating gyms, effectively dojos, for lack of a better phrase. Mm. Where people go and practice these long since forgotten forms of combat from Europe, because a lot of people think that the whole of the Asian martial arts in very high esteem, partly because they're still practiced today. Like, they never stopped doing it. So, like, there's a certain amount of refinement and cultural significance attached to these martial arts. Whereas in Europe, the martial arts were basically about warfare. Mm. I mean, there was a certain amount of dueling and like, you know, prestige within the schools of fencing. But right. Like, once they figured out that they could shoot guns at each other, they decided that was a lot better than using a bunch of people in swords.
And the Western form of martial arts was born.
So then the sword went out of fashion effectively, but there was a certain body of work that remains. We can go back and sort of resurrect what it was they were talking about. How did this combat work together? And so now, if you wish to, you can compete in one of several annual competitions that deal with resurrecting these Western, as in not Asian continent, martial arts. One of the biggest is actually here in the States, called Long Point, which is specifically about longsword fencing. And there is a certain amount of sportness to it, and depending on who you talk to, sport kind of wrecks the martial art because it killed
the radio star.
It might have because people that are into like the more hardcore fighting style, which the Western martial arts, you know, there's less form and more function to the way it operates.
Okay.
Where, like, if you look at like fencing in the Olympics, not that there isn't function to it, but
it's a little heavy on form.
It's a lot of form, and like the point style and things like that. There's like it's so formalized that
it's like formal wear. Nobody has fun in formal wear.
it's a very different it's a different thing than a straight up combative, like, you know, someone that learned like fencing that's sport versus someone that's has a sword and wants to, you know, fence you with, you know, a rapier. It's a totally different situation.
I got you.
No,
we understand.
So there you go. So it's just kind of interesting. There's a bunch of people that are doing it.
Everybody's doing it.
It's a small group of people. There's about
if you want to be cool, you'll do it.
They'd like everybody to.
They would like everyone to. At Long Point this year, it was there was about 200 people, 200 different contestants, and they also feature, besides the tournaments, like seminars on different finer points of swordplay. So,
what was the documentary that talked a lot about that?
That was called Reclaiming the Blade. It was made in 2008, and it is available on Netflix and a few other places. So look up Reclaiming the Blade, and it'll kind of give you an insight into what these people are actually doing and why it's different than the Asian martial arts.
Kendo and whatnot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. Alrighty. Well, I've got a story about how the polar bear enclosure will keep elephants warm at the Oregon Zoo.
Polar bears are warming up the elephants.
Okay.
Yeah. Are they like,
I know,
it's cuddling or?
Elephants and polar bears don't really have an occasion to meet outside of a zoo.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Generally.
Yeah.
But the wide range of ecological simulations present in modern zoos make it possible for elephants and polar bears to peacefully coexist in their own enclosures, of course. Every species of animal in the zoo has their own climate controlled environment created just for them. And now those climate control systems are working together to make sure the critters are comfortable and the zoo doesn't go broke from paying the electric bill. Mm. The Oregon Zoo is using an innovative new heating system that utilizes an underground geothermal loop they call a slinky to send the excess heat generated by the cooling system in the polar bear's simulated Arctic environment to help heat the Asian elephant's enclosure. Here's how it works. Excess heat from the zoo's polar bear exhibit will be absorbed by the fluid inside a coil of pipes ending underneath the 32,000 square foot forest hall, where Asian elephants are housed in an indoor forest.
Okay.
This, along with a few other energy tweaks, are supposed to cut forest hall's greenhouse gas emissions by 40%. So there you go, polar bears and elephants working together.
Well, they don't know they are.
They don't know.
Right.
They are.
But they are.
It's sort of like the circle of life.
Everything that light touches is yours.
It's the slinky of life.
The slinky of life.
But can you make it go downstairs?
You probably don't want these to go downstairs.
Fair enough.
I don't know. All that fluid and stuff inside there.
Right.
Leak out and get in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Probably.
Let's keep it upstairs. Let's keep the fluid upstairs.
Mm. Let's keep it.
It's words to live by.
It is. Speaking of words to live by, if you're interested in free radio time, KSU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. Just email traffic at ksu.org with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization. All right, we're going to take another music break, and then we'll come back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. And Caleb, before we get to that music, how can the folks who maybe are just tuning in, how can they participate on the show? Maybe check out the stories we've already talked about that they missed or want to go and see. Because a lot of our stories have pictures or cool videos that you can't really see over the radio.
Yes, exactly.
Share for the folks.
If you would like to get more in touch with us and with the things that we have been talking about, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow, all one phrase, and that will bring you to our page, or you can do a search for Robots Attack in two words in the handy-dandy Facebook search bar. Or you can go to twitter.com/robotsattackme. Both of those are open and available right now. We will check them and talk about whatever you have to talk about to us.
We promise.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to email us, we are robotsattackshow@gmail.com as well.
That's right. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack right after this. San Jose Animal Advocates, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We've given you the news. Of course, if you're just tuning in now, you missed all the news. But you can still go back and catch all of those news stories that we talked about
on our Facebook page, facebook.com/robotsattackshow, and our Twitter account, which is robotsattackme.
That's right. Twitter.com. So you can go and check out all the stories we talked about earlier. Now, we're going to kind of head and use the last little bit of the show to do a little geek talk, just kind of kick back and relax, maybe talk about some stuff we've been gaming or watching or doing. We do go outside also. Don't let the stereotype of the geek fool you. We're not indoors not all the time.
Often.
But we do go out sometimes.
Right. That's true.
So who wants to start us off with some activities they've been activity-ing?
Well, one thing that I did that was actually outdoors this past weekend was wife and I took a hike through the Sunol Wilderness Preserve.
Ooh,
and
nice.
It's pretty local to even us down here in the South Bay. It's a really lovely park area. They have a section of what they call Little Yosemite, which is actually kind of neat. It's got sort of like a little half dome and some waterfalls and stuff like that, which actually aren't running right now because of the drought. But that's a different issue entirely. But
I saw water in the pictures.
There was
not a lot.
There was some. But it was not. It was not what you would call lots.
Okay.
But it's. They also have a horseback riding out there and stuff like that. But which we did once before. But it was a really nice walk and just kind of nice because it's far enough back that you really feel like you have sort of put most of the city behind you, and you can feel like you're really in a space which is truly open.
Oh, okay.
I see.
Lots of hills. Do keep in mind that it's a little, since it is a little bit more desolate, it's a little bit drier, so you want to bring your water with you. So, but it's a really cool park. If you happen to get out, if you want to get out and find a nice walk, a nice hike, that's a good spot for
it. Did it have like bike trails and stuff? Can you?
Yeah, you can bike trails around there as well.
Do you know if it's pet friendly or?
Yes, it is very pet friendly.
Oh, okay,
dogs.
Cool.
There
was the remnants of dogs all over.
Oh, jeez.
No, there was plenty of
just
live.
Just after I did the San Jose animal.
No, that's not what I meant. Oh, come on.
No, we met about like four or five dogs. One adorable German puppy mix. He's going to be a big dog when he grows up. He was he's like almost up to my hips. Like his shoulders were almost to my hips, and he's only 9 months old. And
wow.
Dogs kind of like hit their height when about 14 months. So it's like, that's going to be a big dog when he grows up. His paws are huge. But yeah, it was really nice. So a reminder to get out and find your local park. There's a lot of nice ones around there.
No.
That was one of the things we did. And then after that, we like hung out with then you came over in the evening, Jason. And
yeah, after it was safe to stay away from all the exercising.
You guys done exercising?
Right.
Are you back indoors yet?
Oh, right.
Are we going to be sitting down for a while? Because good, man.
It's safely nighttime.
That big blue room with the lens flare effect is turned off for a while.
Sun stuff is happening anymore.
Did you guys do anything once you did start to sit down back inside?
Yeah, we one of the things we did, we finally got around to watching the Lego movie. And like, you know, I thought that was a brilliant piece of filmmaking and animation. Like, for one thing, like it was one of its cooler aspects for me personally is that they nailed the like stop motion like brick film feel. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that's
perfectly
true.
Like,
yeah.
There was times when I kind of wish it was like actual like stop motion, but at the same time, like that would have limited their ability to make some of those shots so difficult, so I'm glad they didn't. But then I'm just like, they've nailed that look so well.
Yeah.
And it's so quintessentially Lego. Like,
yeah, it's hard to even describe
yeah.
how Lego that movie is. Are you like the entire experience of Lego.
Distilled.
Yeah.
Are you disappointed that you missed it from the theater, or does it lose anything from it, you think? Or
I don't think it loses much, because the story is still, the story and characters are strong enough that, like, it's still a lot of fun to watch. I think some of the cooler, like, scene set pieces and scenes would have been kind of cool to see on the big screen. But
yeah, okay. Especially it, I was about to diss like 3D, and then I started thinking about it, like, especially where they have water effects.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 3D would have been really cool to have seen.
Yeah,
like Lego water pulsating. It's hard to even describe mm-hmm. without adjectives like awesome and blue.
Yeah, just like
and frothy.
Just like they were very clever about how, like, they staged, like, a lot of the elements, like the, you know, you, it really does look like you could build every single frame by hand if you wanted to.
Okay.
You just wouldn't want to, because that'd be a lot of pieces.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just a lot of fun, like, because, like, the, you know, they poke a lot of fun at, like, pop culture and, like, sort of,
okay.
There's a certain amount of self-referential
treatment.
Like, they it's like they understand a certain amount of what's going on within the film, so to speak.
Okay.
But at the same time, like, it's also about sort of what is the core of what the story is, like, what does Lego mean to people in a way?
Okay.
Yeah.
And they did a really good job of, like, exemplifying a lot of different viewpoints on, and, like, how we can all, like, come to it and bring ourselves, and is it's fun. If you haven't seen it, really add that to your short list, because
yeah, it's a lot of fun with a surprising amount of depth. The one thing that I will say is I cannot imagine anybody outside of our generation enjoying it at all.
Yeah, it hits.
Why would you say?
Just anybody who's an adult who looked at Legos from the outside instead of doing them themselves is going to be completely lost on it, in my view.
Hmm. So it's something you had to have...
You had to have experienced Legos.
Okay.
And had some level of passion about them. Otherwise, I think it'll probably kind of fall flat for you.
Would you agree or disagree, Caleb?
I would disagree a little bit. Only, but
no, you're not allowed to.
I see your point, but I think in a lot of ways, if you were one of those people that was on the outside looking in at Legos, going, "What's this about?" I think this movie would actually kind of help people understand what it's about to the people that were into it. Okay. That's something that I would see in it. And I don't know, from a lot of people I talk to,
that's what I would hope.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hope. I don't think it's going to happen.
Possibly. If nothing else, it's fantastically clever in a lot of the things they did. So I think it, even if you aren't really, like, super into Legos or Lego, because the plural of Lego is Lego, it's worth a shot. It's worth sitting down and enjoying. It's not very long. It's 94 minutes. So even if you're not, like, super into it, like, give it a shot. Give it a chance. I think it'll surprise you.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Anything else in our last remaining moments of the show? Or
I messed around with Destiny quite a bit more. I'm fairly hooked on that game, which still completely throws me off, because I've said it before and I'll say it again, I think I was the least passionate about this game out of you guys, and I've ended up with so much more enjoyment from it than I thought possible. But yeah, it's just a really fun combination of elements, and it really encourages you to do like, feel like an explorer a little bit more.
Okay.
And it feels more authentic because you actually have people running around. And for the most part, they're actually doing things instead of being jerks, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing something that I had mixed feelings about, because as soon as I heard about it, it was like, oh, great, people are figuring out how to break the system. But it was a weird bonding experience, too, because if you haven't heard, there are certain places in the game that allow you to just rake in tons of kind of the building blocks of the game. From a couple of different angles, like, you know, experience points and items and just outright money.
Okay.
And so there's people have figured out some of these places that just vomit enemies like just over and over and over again, especially if you can stay on top of them.
Oh, okay.
And so what people have started doing is they figured out these special little areas that they can stand back with sniper rifles and long-range weapons.
Okay.
And as a group, just take pot shots at these little areas and end up sitting there and just wipe out enemies that are trying to come out of this area long enough that you just go and harvest all of this crazy loot. Because the thing that's unique about the game, too, is that everybody who's playing gets their own personal loot.
Mm. Yes.
And it's built upon by the people that you're around. And so it ends up making it so you get a fair amount of decent stuff, especially if you're with a pretty decent sized group of people and you give it time and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so the thing that I wasn't expecting was that another event ended up opening right in the area that me and a group of really high level guys were doing this in.
Oh, okay.
And so I think it caught everybody off guard. And I don't know if the designers of the game specifically did it to try and scare people or what, because literally, like, there's a pair of double doors right next to the area that we were shooting and having, like, just raking in profit, basically. Uh-huh. And so outspilled, like, a ton of really heavy guys with, I mean, not, like, heavy as in fat, but, captain-class guys.
Okay.
And on top of that, like the exploding-style guys, too.
Okay.
And so it was just a ton of these things spilling out at us from one direction. And then at the same time, another thing happened on the other side of us that was spilling out, like, the opposite faction of their, like, big things.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And so we were sandwiched in the middle of this giant, like, melee gunfight, and it was insane. And at the end, it felt so weird, because after sitting taking pot shots at this little spot for so long and getting a fair amount of stuff, it was actually kind of disappointing that we didn't end up, like, with crazy stuff after this really crazy experience. But there was still, like, pretty good stuff. I was just expecting, after all of this giant stuff being thrown at us, that I would end up with some legendary item or something like that.
Another lord of
right. But thankfully they didn't completely break the game or anything like that. But it's really it's tough to describe, like, how connected I felt to those people that I wasn't even talking to, just because you could see their reactions, like, oh, what the heck is going on here?
Whoa!
And I seriously wonder if Bungie was just like, well, I don't know. Do we discourage people from doing this thing that's kind of like messing with our game a little bit? Or do we just give them some big trophy for figuring it out? And it was kind of both.
I could see that working out pretty well as a balancing thing. Because, like, if you've been there long enough, they're probably like, you know, you've been here a while. Why don't we encourage you to either move along and...
Yeah.
Or to, like... All right, you've been doing this for a while. You want a challenge? Boom, here's a challenge.
Yeah. And it's something, too, that they can look at it like, oh, this is sort of like a test. Like, okay, yeah, we'll let these people continue to do this. If data comes and it's like, oh, we're starting to lose people or this is affecting this, okay, we can stop it with a patch.
Yeah.
Like, oh, people really seem to like this thing. Okay, how can we sort of play off of it?
Yeah.
Make it a little more interesting. Like, so.
Yeah.
It's not a bug, it's a feature.
it really tells me that they're paying a lot of attention, or at least they figured out how to make the system look like they are paying attention.
Yeah.
It's a bit of both. I'm sure that, like, there's people like
I'm sure they have a system in place to like monitor when people are doing a particular thing and like figure out if they can balance that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did see, I mean, we have to wrap it up for the night, but I did there was a little story about, I guess they figured out that kind of on average, a player session is about 3 hours during the weekday and then 4 hours during the weekend. So
right.
I'm sure they have, like you said, I'm sure they have even more data about certain areas, like, okay, where are most people going, this and all of that. So
what are they doing there?
Yeah. So
how much dancing is happening?
No, true.
Do we need to add more dancing? I'm sure they have stats
on that. Right.
Do we need to add more dancing in a patch or a DLC pack or something?
Yeah.
Who knows? Sort of awesome. We'll find out. But definitely stick around for more Robots Attack. Again, we do sort of apologize for the kind of off the cuff show. If you've been tuning in all evening, we normally
thank you. We appreciate you.
We normally had our shows at least for the past couple of years on a Thursday night, but we're on Mondays now. We're gonna rock Monday.
Yeah,
and we thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back again next Monday from 7 to 9. And Caleb, we're wrapping it up, but it's not too late for the audience to participate or check out stuff.
That's not too late to participate.
Yes. You can get your mug in our feeds and our stories by going to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or do a search for Robots Attack, two words, in the handy dandy Facebook search field. That will be our page. You can like us, you can favorite like our stories, comment on them, go crazy. It'd be awesome. If you prefer Twitter, you can go to twitter.com/robotsattackme, all one phrase, and that will get you onto, that will allow you to find our feeds there. And if you want to email us, we are robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you get one place to find all things Robots Attack, including if you're new and you want to find, you like our show, you want to hear more, you can go into the archives at robotsattack.me. And there has links to all the social stuff, email, and, like I said, the archives. You can go deep into our history and find out how far we've come.
Yeah. If you want to feel great, don't procrastinate.
It's getting all
because it's not too late to participate.
Nice.
Word.
All right. You've been listening to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. That's going to do it for the show. Stick around for Robo DJ. Going to take you into the night.
He's going to rock it.
It's going to rock you till you can't be rocked
anymore.
With some
tasty jams.
And then you'll just need to go to sleep, even though you won't want to, but you'll have to because you have work or class or something.
But you'll feel comfortable knowing that Robo DJ is there watching over you and your music selections.
It's true.
Even in your dreams.
It's true. Thank you, Robo DJ. And if you want to check out other shows on the station, if you go to KCU.org, you click on the schedule. I think right now it might still show the summer shows, but within the next day or two, it should update to the newest quarter sessions. So, but just keep it locked to KCU.org. You can check out promotions for tickets and all that sort of stuff. And there's a ton of other cool shows on here. So we want to keep the station going. And thank you for the support and support the other shows as well. So, all right, that's going to do it. Have a wonderful rest of the week. Normally we say weekend, but you can have a weekend too, since we'll see him on, or we won't see you technically, but whatever.
Tune in again soon, and we'll be here.
Yeah, we will be here next Monday from 7 to 9. All right, that's going to do it. On behalf of myself, Joe, and Caleb, and Jason, we're out of here.
Raccoon. Veronica. Nicto.